Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. Cyril flashes back to the moment 150 years ago when he suffers the unspeakable fate of becoming a human sacrifice. His body is mercilessly torn apart while he's still alive. And it's only before being swallowed by the darkness that he begins to understand what is happening to him. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away, Galen Altos has been killed by a pair of ornery hillbillies who don't realize his death was part of his plan. Chapter 12. Buck opened up one of the paper cartridges filled with black powder and poured its contents into the gunshot wound in his leg. His hand shook with the searing pain that blasted through his entire body, but he knew from experience he had to act fast or risk losing the limb.
"Give me your knife," he pleaded with Harley, his older brother, who handed over the bone-handled blade he kept strapped to his waist, and then watched as Buck forced it into the wound to dig out the bullet.
Buck yelped again as the lead ball popped out onto the ground.
"I need a bandage," he gasped,
and Harley leaned down to the dead man on the ground and tore a piece from Galen's shirt and then tied it around his brother's wounded leg. The thought of what Galen had done to their youngest brother Eli brought another bout of blinding anger to Harley's mind, and he got up and swiftly brought his foot into Galen's chest, kicking the prone corpse in frustration. Eli had been big and dumb and slow, but he didn't deserve to be shot and killed whilst in the middle of a fuck.
"I'm taking his pants," Buck said as he began to remove Galen's boots, then pried the guns from the dead man's hands. "He won't need them."
The truth was, Harley and his brothers never owned a piece of clothing that hadn't come off a dead body of some sort, even as babies. Galen's pants had some blood on them just underneath the torn shirt that had been ripped by the dulled edge of Harley's bayonet. In truth, Buck didn't mind. Pants were pants, and good pants weren't for wasting. Harley was otherwise preoccupied with his anger and sorrow. He wiped the tears from his eyes.
"Where's my goddamn knife?"
"How should I know?"
responded Buck. He'd been too busy fishing through Galen's pockets to ever even notice. The answer did very little, though, to calm Harley, who was now fixing to administer even more payback for Eli's murder by taking out his anger and his inconsolable grief on the interloper he'd just run through with his trusty bayonet. He trundled over and knelt beside his youngest brother's cold corpse and let out a long sob.
"I'm gonna make that sumbitch pay, Eli," Harley said as even more tears welled up in his eyes.
He indeed intended every word of his promise, repeating it over and over as he stalked around, head down, looking both high and low for his blade.
"God damn it, Buck, you had it last. You get up and help me find it," he bellowed.
Up to that point, Buck had avoided looking over in Eli's direction. But now that he'd allowed himself to feel the grief, it hit him that he'd never see his brother alive again. He threw down the ammo bag.
"Fine. I want you to cut off that bastard's head for what he done to Eli,"
Buck told him, now choking back his own hot, burning tears.
"God damn it, Buck!"
Harley shouted again, still looking for the knife.
"I can't find it! Then I'm gonna mutilate him some more with this!"
exclaimed Buck, picking up Harley's bayonet-tipped rifle and using it as a crutch to help him get to his feet. But as he turned back, raised gun in hand, Galen was no longer there. The spot where he'd been killed was now completely empty.
"Huh?"
exclaimed Buck. Harley also turned, sensing something was wrong.
"Some bitch,"
he gasped, gazing in amazement at the now empty space on the ground.
"Where'd he go?" whispered Buck.
"What?" asked Harley.
I says, where'd he go, the dead guy?
I don't know, barked Harley. And quit whispering, can't hear you with my bad ear.
He stalked over to Buck and snatched his gun from the hands of his brother.
Give me that!
Harley's head swiveled around as he thought he saw something out of the corner of his eye, and quickly he turned and fired his rifle, his bullet cracking into the side of a tree 30 feet away.
God damn it!
He huffed. His hand shook as he took the powder horn from around his neck and began the process of reloading his gun.
Was it him?
Buck asked, his gunshot wound aching, his knees now feeling shaky.
I don't know, Harley told him. Can't be! Dead man don't just get up and walk away!
Unless he ain't dead, said Buck, stating the one thing both of them had thought, but neither had said.
I ran him through, stabbed him twice! I saw the light go right out of his goddamned eyes!
Harley exclaimed. Having taken the lives of several people in the course of his own existence, he was pretty certain he knew when a man was good and killed. Crack! Came the sound of a footstep close by, and both hillbillies spun in the direction of the noise. Buck winced from the discomfort and shifted his weight to his good leg.
God damn!
Hissed Harley between his teeth. He was starting to feel his chest tense up in knots.
Let's get out of here!
What about Eli?
Buck asked, his teeth now chattering from the combination of fear and pain.
Eli's dead, Harley burst out. He won't mind. Let's just get back to the wagon!
With some effort, Buck scooped up Galen's boots, pants, and guns into a bundle and began to gather Galen's ammo bag.
Just leave it! Cried his brother. Let's get!
And Harley burst into a run, but Buck stopped in his tracks.
My gun!
He shouted after Harley, who, even if he had heard, wouldn't have stopped. Buck turned and hobbled back. He spotted his musket right where he'd left it, leaning against the side of a tree during the moment he began thinking less about his gun and more about the boots belonging to the crazy sumbitch who fired on them. With the bundle of the dead man's possessions cradled against his chest, Buck had trouble grabbing his rifle, the barrel slipping through his fingers as the gun slid onto the ground.
Damn!
Buck whispered. He bent down to pick it up, letting the boots spill out of his hands in the process.
Damn!
He muttered again, just as he heard the footstep come up behind him.
Help me with it, Harley!
He pleaded.
I'm in a lot of pain here!
And when he sensed the figure behind him moving closer, he turned his head, only to find no one there. A bolt of fear shot through Buck's chest, wrenching his insides like the clutch of a bear. His mind returned to the moment when they were younger, and their father once sat the three boys around a campfire and told them ghost stories until they cried, then continued telling them until Eli had fainted dead away. The fear Buck was gripped with now was much, much worse. Quickly, he picked up the boots and hooked his fingers around the barrel of his rifle and hobbled away in the direction of the wagon. Harley had already disappeared in the woods, and Buck was struck by another case of the jitters because in the silence of the forest, he could hear someone breathing. And it wasn't him. Buck turned around and his face blanched. Stepping out from behind the very same tree his rifle had been leaning against was the man he had watched his brother kill only a short while earlier. And though his pants and boots were missing, and his shirt was torn and bloodied, the man looked otherwise uninjured, though the murderous glare in his eyes showed he was indeed quite pissed. Galen let his right hand drop to his side, revealing the bone-handled knife Harley had been unable to find, the blade still tinged with blood from the Mexican woman's tongue. Buck dropped the ill-gotten boots, pants, and guns to the ground. As Galen stepped closer to him, His hand scrambled to bring the rifle up, only to find the gun already spent. In a flash, he thought of the last shot he had fired, moments before being hit by the bullet from the same man who was now standing before him with his brother's knife. Buck had never bothered to reload his gun afterwards. The rifle fell from Buck's shaking hands, and he dropped to his knees.
"I'm sorry," he sobbed. "I didn't mean nothing."
"You mean by killing me?" Galen asked.
"You already done shot me!"
Buck screamed. Tears streamed down his face, which twitched with the thought of what Galen had just said. His voice then raised an octave as he clasped his hands together.
"I'm really, really sorry!"
"Oh, I forgive you for what you did to me," Galen said.
Buck's face relaxed a moment.
"But what you did to that woman, that I'll never forgive," Galen said before plunging the blade deep into Buck's eye socket.
Harley ran until his lungs burned and then kept his legs pumping all the way back to the wagon. Eli had insisted that they unhitch the two horses and tie them to nearby trees to prevent them from running away. Now Harley cursed Eli's decision for the time it would cost him, and quickly he tossed his gun into the back of the wagon, then untethered the first horse and dragged the unwilling nag to the rig and harnessed him in. The second horse, however, was not as cooperative and nipped at Harley's hand, drawing blood.
"Stupid animal!"
hissed Harley as he raised his hand and cracked the horse across the face. He tugged hard on the nag's bridle, but the animal pulled away and reared up on its hind legs, emitting an angry and near ear-splitting whinny.
"God damn it!"
Harley exclaimed, putting his hands up to protect his face.
"Fine! I'm leaving without you!"
Grumbling as he stalked back to the wagon, he stopped in his tracks halfway there. Standing 30 feet away, staring right back at him, was the man he had just killed. And in the man's hand was Harley's bloody bone-handled knife.
"God damn!"
Harley said under his breath. And even from this distance, he could see the same shine of life he had taken away, now brimming in the man's eyes, along with a heaping dose of anger. Harley didn't pause a single moment longer. His feet erupted into a dead run toward the wagon. Not for a second did the welfare of his brother Buck cross his mind. His only thought was of his musket and bayonet. Galen had caught him empty-handed, but now he was fairly certain what the hillbilly had waiting in the wagon. His legs felt stiff from what he'd just suffered through, but he knew he couldn't afford to lose this race. With great determination, Harley was closing the distance to the wagon faster than he'd ever run before. He glanced to his left and saw the specter coming at him and pushed himself even harder. He was closer to the wagon than his pursuer was to him. He was going to make it. 10 feet. 5 feet. Harley reached out ahead of him. He would grab the rifle and run that bastard through with his bayonet again. Panting and out of breath, he made it, reaching in over the side of the wagon, wrapping his fingers around the gun. Just as Galen grabbed Harley's wrist. Harley's heart stopped briefly as he let out a terrified yelp. He kept his grip on the rifle, trying to wrestle it away from the specter to no avail. But Galen's concentration broke, if only momentarily, for his vision caught what else was in the back of the wagon. Its staring eyes, looking back at him. It was the dead body of a Mexican man, his boots stripped, his throat cut from ear to ear. Harley sensed his advantage and tugged the gun, breaking Galen's grip, but before he could pull the rifle out of the wagon, his chin was greeted by a brutal haymaker from Galen's fist. Harley's knees buckled and he went down hard, slamming his chin against a wagon wheel. Harley saw stars, but quickly shook them away. Galen reached down and grabbed the hillbilly by the throat and pulled him closer, thrusting his blade up to Harley's face. "Who's that in back?" Galen asked, jerking a thumb toward the wagon. "This the knife you used on him too?" Though never formally schooled, Harley knew playing fair wasn't part of the equation anymore. With a sharp kick, he struck out of Galen's knee, connecting harder than he had expected. Galen recoiled from the blow. 3 feet away, Harley spotted what he hoped would buy him his freedom, a large jagged rock. Desperately, he lunged across the dirt to reach it, but was stopped by the boot that Galen firmly planted in his back. Galen reached down and grabbed a handful of the hillbilly's greasy hair. "That was her husband, wasn't it?" he asked. "They were just going about their business, and you preyed on them like animals."
"You don't understand!"
Harley cried, his eyes widened as Galen pulled harder on his hair.
"Besides, you're dead! You're a ghost! You can't kill me!"
As Galen raised the knife to cut Harley's throat, there was a sudden flash before his eyes. And now, instead of the hillbilly, Galen was holding a handful of hair, belonging to the young girl from Veracruz, as he imagined his knife cutting into her scalp. Her face turned upward, greeting him with a bone-chilling grin. And as quickly as it arrived, the flash was over, the vision gone. Galen let out a sharp breath as if he'd been struck. He released the hillbilly's hair, causing Harley's chin to smack down hard against the ground. Galen turned away, still reeling over what he'd just seen in his mind's eye.
"Why the hell do you care so much? They're just a bunch of stinking Mexicans!"
Harley shouted.
"You can't kill me over a bunch of them people!"
Galen turned back. "I'm not going to kill you," he said. "But I can't vouch for the rest of the creatures in these woods." And without hesitation, Galen plunged the knife into the middle of Harley's back, severing the hillbilly's spine in two. Harley screamed from the pain, at the same moment sensing the immediate loss of feeling and control in the lower half of his body.
"God damn it! You some bitch!"
the hillbilly shrieked at Galen, spitting in anger and agony.
"I'm gonna curse you to Judgment Day!"
"No, you're not," Galen told him, flipping Harley over onto his back. Galen walked away, wiping the blood from his hands onto the tattered remains of his shirt. In his palm, he held a pink nubbin of flesh that was still warm and wet from the hillbilly's mouth. He looked down at it in disgust and pitched Harley's severed tongue over his shoulder. The animals would smell the fresh meat and find it soon enough. The same went for Harley. Galen rushed back to the hill, hoping it wasn't too late. And there she lay, motionless, her blood-stained face looking upward to the sky. "I didn't make it," he thought. But just then she coughed. Her head turned slightly to him, the pleading still in her eyes, though fading fast. With what little energy she had left, she raised her hand and reached out to him. And that's chapter 12 of Shadow Falls Badlands. Galen has returned from the dead, but what does it mean? And who is this mysterious woman that he's discovered lying in the woods? More answers to be found in chapter 13. If you have feedback, I want to hear it. Send me an email at shadowfalls@podshowla.com. And of course, big thanks to Kevin Reeves and Ian Baird for the Shadow Falls Badlands Part 2 theme song, Redemption. which you can find at music.podshow.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemka fading to black.
Wake up in a small town, just another day. Last see the sun, the day's begun. Now I'm on my way. So many dusty roads have run down, searching for this place where love chased the miles and faced the trials, no matter what it takes. Gotta try before I never gave a damn. The anger boils, the gun recoils, spilling blood upon the land. When I saw the road ahead, man, I didn't like the view, so I turned around. But all I found were deceptions born anew. But I'll trudge on. Switch for mode.